is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman, GM. A beautiful day in Music City. How are you?
I am outstanding.
Have you ever not been outstanding? We've been doing the show now for about a year and a half, and I'm not sure you've ever been not outstanding.
I try hard to not. I want to be outstanding every day. That's what you do.
Okay, so here's how we're going to do the show today. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday, which means the hottest take of the day will win a prize. And I'm going to be very generous today to the people, Floyd. And I'm a very generous individual. I think we all know that. But I want to be generous to the paying customers today, if that's okay.
That's a good idea.
So we're going to open up the phone lines here on Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're going to start off with some of our own takes, and then we'll go to your takes. So get them in there, 615-737-1025, and we'll go to them. Our topics today, UT, the Titans, the Predators, and then everything that's going on right now in college. It's all crazy, and got some thoughts on the football game last night. And other things, we'll get to all of that today, because usually on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, we have a Titans game to get ready for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
This one, we'll have Monday's show, because once again, the Titans are playing on Monday Night Football, but we'll still talk a lot of Titans. We've got an update on Mariota and so much more to get to, but this is the take I want to start with. I want to start with UT football and tomorrow's game against South Carolina. I have really no, I don't care who wins this game. I really don't. Yeah, to me, if South Carolina wins, okay. If Tennessee wins, okay. I mean, the winner of this game might be lucky enough to play in the Belk Bowl. I mean, that's where this game is going. Neither team is going to win the East. Neither team is going to win the SEC. Neither team is going to even compete for a chance to win the East. There's just not a lot on the line in this game, except this might be Butch Jones' last chance at UT.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on who you are, how you're looking at this game. There may be a lot on the line there.
And that's why. This might be his last chance. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I don't think things are looking very good for Butch Jones. Agreed?
Yeah. Now, a win against South Carolina, I think this is what he can say. If he beats South Carolina, he can say, we've got the same record we had last year, and I've already beaten South Carolina, which I didn't do last year.
Okay.
So, I mean,
but he has to win in order to be able to say that.
Yes, but if he can say that, at least it's a step in the right direction. I mean, you know, that gives him a basis for an argument. And that's what he's looking for right now. Some kind of something he can stand on and, you know, thump his chest a little bit and say, hey, look where we are now. After all the turmoil, I think the second thing he can say, and I'm not sure this will help him, but I think the second thing he can say is, and now we have a quarterback. And I feel really good about where we are with this quarterback, and on and on and on. Then the second question is going to be, well, why did it take you six games to decide he was the quarterback? You know, so, I mean, he's going to go back and forth. But I think, you know, those are two things he can sell.
But if they don't win, and this is why I say this is his last chance, nobody thinks he's going to beat Alabama. Well, I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. Uh-huh. Nobody in their right mind thinks they're going to beat Alabama, and nobody should think they're going to beat Alabama, and they're not going to beat Alabama. So you tie all that in together, and, I mean, this is it. This is his last chance. I really believe if they lose on Saturday, if they lose tomorrow, he's fired after the Alabama game. I really am starting to see that as a possibility.
Yeah, I don't. Again, I think whoever, whatever, however the decision is made about the timing of that, I mean, I can argue both sides of it. So I guess it really doesn't make any difference to me.
But to me, timing becomes irrelevant if he loses to South Carolina, because even if he beats Kentucky and Vandy and Southern Miss, and UT fans are not going to be okay with this season. If he loses this South Carolina game.
Right, I would agree with that.
He can set, it's not likely, but Tennessee could salvage the season by beating South Carolina, losing to Bama, and then winning every game along the way that they should.
Right.
That's essentially like saying, okay, if they score a touchdown and they get the onside kick and they score another touchdown, they'll go to overtime with a chance to win. That's basically the equivalent in my mind, of Butch Jones at this point being able to save UT season. But at least it's a chance.
Right, because early in the year, before the year, if we would have said, okay, you beat South Carolina, you got thumped versus Alabama. Now, should UT beat Kentucky? Should UT beat Vandy? Should UT beat Missouri? Should they, you know, you go through the list and they go, yeah, they should. Yeah. And you finish up, you know, you're 8-4 again or 9-3 or whatever it is. And people are probably okay with that. You know, yeah, okay.
And back to your point, they can point to, but now we have a quarterback and he's only a sophomore.
Right.
Going into next season. Right. If so, that to me, that's, I start out with this UT South Carolina game tomorrow and I think, yeah, this game, like, who cares? And now I'm sitting here saying, this is his last chance. This is it for Butch Jones tomorrow, because no one thinks you're beating Alabama. So tomorrow is his last chance in my mind, because if he loses to South Carolina, then loses to Bama, I'm not sure any combination of wins the rest of the way is going to keep him safe.
What would be his best record if that were to happen? It'd be 4.
I think it'd be 8-4.
8-4, yeah.
Which would be the same as last year, which on the surface, going into the season, I think we all would have been okay with 8-4. But the way you get there, the Florida debacle, getting crushed at home 41-0 against Georgia, to me, this fan base is not going to get excited about beating Kentucky.
Yeah, you lose to Florida, and you lose to Georgia, and you lose to South Carolina. Yeah, people aren't going to be happy about that.
And then you have to remember, too, that the other teams in the conference, at least in the division, their rebuilds are, like, Butch Jones' tenure is now kind of overlapping by rebuilds. You know, he takes over, South Carolina's a great program, then South Carolina falls off the cliff. Now South Carolina beat them last year. South Carolina looks like they're kind of on the come up, and they beat you this year. South Carolina's had their rebuild while you've been coaching. If Kentucky beat you this year, Kentucky's 5-1 right now. Kentucky would have had their rebuild while you're coaching. Vandy last year has their rebuild while he's coaching. Georgia, I mean, and that is really going to get in the behinds of the fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's really every other team in the SEC East except Missouri.
Now, the other take that I want to get to today, yeah, Missouri's just such a train wreck, you know, who knows. The other one I want, and we'll take your calls in on Butch Jones and UT, 615-737-1025. The other one is for the Titans. They play the Colts on Monday night, and I know there's a lot of questions surrounding the quarterback and who's going to play and the Colts. And is it DEFCON 1, Floyd, if the Tennessee Titans lose on Monday night to the Colts? I mean, is it time to hit the panic button on a season in which we came out and we said, you know, hey, they should be a contender in this division. They won 9 games last year. If they lose to this crummy Colts team after losing to that awful Dolphins team last week, is it time to hit the panic button on DEFCON 1 for the Tennessee Titans?
What's DEFCON 1?
Well, I think that's like the, in terms of a threat to the country, like a nuclear threat to the country, that's like the worst it can be.
The worst?
Yes.
Oh, no, I don't
like
think
it's DEFCON funny. 1 is like, okay, they're bombing now, we bomb back. I do believe. Is that what it is? Yeah, Ian says that's what it is. Okay. I mean, so is it DEFCON 1 if the Titans lose to the Colts on Monday night?
No. DEFCON 1, no. Is there a DEFCON 2 or 3?
Yes. I think it goes all the way to 5.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a 6. Something like that.
Oh, no. There is no way it's a made-up DEFCON.
6 is just a little flamethrower.
DEFCON 1.
Burning down
here
trees.
You go. DEFCON 1, nuclear war is imminent. DEFCON 2, next step to nuclear war. DEFCON 3, increase in force readiness above the required for normal readiness. DEFCON 4, increased intelligence watch and strengthened security measures. DEFCON 5, lowest state of readiness. I'm willing to say that the Titans season is DEFCON 1 if they lose to the Colts. That Colts team is horrible. They are horrible. Horrible.
I mean,
if you lose that game, you're going to be 2-4 with the Steelers still coming up, another game against the Texans coming up, the Ravens, although I don't think the Ravens are good, but they're certainly better than the Colts. I mean, if you lose to the Colts, you are in some real trouble right now. And I know we can sit there and say, well, it's a long season. And if you lose to the Colts, the best you can hope for is 9-7 again. The best. And 9-7 might not get it done this year.
Then it would be just like last year.
And wouldn't we have a problem with that? Wouldn't everybody around the room have a problem with the Titans going 9-7 in a season in which they're lucky enough to play the Browns, the Dolphins, and the Colts without Andrew Luck? I would. Now, I think the Titans are probably going to win on Monday night, but I'm just telling you, if they lose, I don't have a panic button in here, so I just want you to hear. I am smacking that panic button if they lose this game. I'm serious. I mean, you act like if the Titans lose this game to the Colts, oh, now we're fine. Everything's going to be okay.
Nobody's going to be happy with it.
Gumdrops and lollipops and rainbows.
But, I mean, you still got 10 games left. You still got a college year left. Yeah, I don't. But you did that after last week.
No, I didn't.
I didn't see any button hitting it after the Seattle game.
I didn't hit a button. I did not hit a button on Monday. I came in here Monday and said, look, you can't lose to the Dolphins. But, you know, now they got to win these two to get to the bye and they'll be okay. But the key in that is win those two. You have to win those two. Colts, Browns. Floyd, the Colts are so bad. They are so, so bad.
They're 3-2.
No, they're 2-3.
They're 2-3.
Yeah, and they had to go to overtime to beat the Niners.
Same record as everybody in this division.
Except
Jacksonville, who's now 3-2.
You know, Steve Spurrier said this after a Vandy, South Carolina game one time. We've all seen good football. We ain't it. And we've all seen the Colts play. That ain't good football. If you lose to the Colts. So those are the two lead. I cannot believe how you're just so mellow and relaxed, like losing to the Colts is okay. It is so not okay.
Lose in this business, in the NFL, losing to no one is okay.
Losing to the Patriots and losing to the Colts are two different things.
Losing to the Patriots is not okay. Nothing to have to do with losing is okay. Does it happen and can you go on and win a bunch of games? Yeah. I mean, we see that every year.
Not if you lose to this Colts team. So that's how we're starting the show. 615-737-1025. We'll also get to some Preds thoughts, and we'll get to your calls on Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 1025. The Game live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. It's ESPN 1025, The Game.
So whatever he inherited, I mean, that was like five years ago. He's had four recruiting cycles. And, you know, it seems like he's in danger of losing his team. When you're sitting there, you're having a press conference, the one we talked about last week, and, you know, there's rumblings about players in the locker room fighting. You go out there and say, well, the guy just fell on the helmet repeatedly. You know what I'm saying? It just seems like he's losing his team. So this is his squad now.
Some might say he was protecting his team.
Huh?
Yeah. I'm saying that. He was protecting
Here's the problem to me. Here's what it boils down to. The team's not protecting him anymore. You lose the locker room, it's a wrap. Okay. It's over. There's nothing you can do.
That's another point.
Nelson's retweeting all week.
From a coach's standpoint, you're absolutely right. Yeah. You can lose games, but when you lose your team, you're gone.
College game day last week, all over Butch Jones. And when you lose college game day, you know, Corso says when you lose the team, you're gone. When you lose college game day, I mean, that's bad. Those college game day guys, they don't really stir the pot too much.
Yeah, they're not very critical.
And so when you lose college game day,
you
might be in a lot of trouble. Tennessee takes on South Carolina. And I was listening to Butch's press conference. I promise I'll go right to the calls on Fireball Hot Take Friday because I promised that at the start. But I was listening to his press conference the other day before the South Carolina game when he named Garantano the starter. You got to hear what he says about Garantano being the starter and why Garantano is now the starter.
Well, again, each game is different in and of itself, but it's more so we just felt Jared has earned the opportunity. And, again, we need to score points in this conference, and it's going to take points to win. And like I said, it's no reflection on Quentin. It's a lot of individuals around him. And Quentin has done some good things, but you're always looking for, you know, what you feel gives you the best opportunity to win a football game. The scheme is the scheme. The scheme is in place. So it's more just, you know, I think Jarrett's earned that right and that opportunity.
Floyd, what have you seen Garantano earn so far?
I haven't seen him play very much. I mean, so he must really be good in practice.
Must be. Must really be earning it.
He's got to kill it in practice.
Phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Right to him. Juan is going to kick us off on UT. What's up, Juan? Juan. Okay. call us back. Let's go to David, who wants to get in on the Titans quarterback situation today. David, thank you for calling. What's up, David?
How you doing?
Great.
I just wanted to say, Monday night, if I see Marcus Mariota on the sideline out of his uniform with a ball cap on, I will be livid, and I probably won't watch another game. With a division game and not playing, I just can't see it. Thank you.
Yeah, I wonder who you blame here. Like, if Marcus doesn't play on Monday night, who is responsible for Marcus not playing on Monday night? Is it the coach? Is it Marcus? Is it the training staff? I mean, you've been in this, so who actually is going to make this decision?
All the medical people make the decision. All, and they'll do it in conjunction. It'll be the doctors. It'll be the team doctors. It'll be the trainers. It'll be if they've got a massage therapist, I'm sure he'll be in on it. Strength coach, coaches, everybody will have some kind of an opinion. But the final decision is always made by the medical people.
I just don't like this. I don't know how hurt he is. This is the thing, is nobody knows. But where Mike Mularkey really screwed up in all of this is by starting off by saying he was day-to-day 2 weeks ago. You can't say day-to-day 2 weeks ago, you know, he was going to go back in the game. And now here we are 2 weeks later, and everybody is looking at Marcus not being able to play as, I mean, what the heck? When before, had Mike come out and said, yeah, it's going to be probably 2-3 weeks maybe, I don't think people would be sitting there screaming and moaning and groaning about whether or not Marcus is going to play because of a hamstring. But Mike minimized it at the start when he said it was day-to-day. And maybe that's a lesson for Mike in coaching, that when you say day-to-day, you are setting an expectation level. Not day-to-day, 10 days.
What's day-to-day mean to you?
It means that maybe tomorrow, maybe 2 days, not 10. Which, by the way, it's 11 since Mike said day-to-day as we sit today. So Mike has not done a good job of handling the expectations here with the quarterback. And if the quarterback is not the one who's making the decision as to whether or not he's going to play, then Mike is unfairly giving Marcus some kind of a label where these fans are sitting there saying they're looking at Marcus like he is not, you know, toughening up to play, when maybe Marcus is in there saying, I want to play, and they're just not letting Marcus play.
Yeah, no, that won't be the case. I mean, again, if the doctors say, yeah, okay, you can play, Marcus is going to say he can play regardless. And Mike will say he should play regardless. But the medical people, whoever's making the decision on this, however that medical team is put together, however, you know, I assume it's probably the trainer, but doctors there, everybody involved, look at it and they will say, okay, he'll be fine. Or they'll go to Marcus and say, okay, he's 95%, 90%, whatever the number is. And here are the risks. You know, are you willing to jeopardize that? Can you go out and play and not sprint, not whatever the case may be? And if he can do that, then that's fine. The problem with him is we've never seen him do that. He's never had to do that. So can he do it? I have no idea.
Well, Mike also talked about that yesterday, saying, well, you know, Marcus has, you know, that's ever since he's been playing football, that's been a part of his game. And, well, welcome to the NFL, where you learn how to make adjustments. Isn't that part of the deal? Let's go back to the phones. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jeff is up next on the NCAA North Carolina basketball story. By the way, how about this? North Carolina getting in almost no trouble for systematic academic failure fraud because regular students could take those classes too.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff is up next. What's up, Jeff?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Well, I just want to say I think North Carolina got away with a lot. The only penalty that they have is that they have a 5-year show cause on one of their former department chairs has a 5-year show cause. That's the only penalty that they've got out of the whole case.
I'm sure the fans are really upset about that, Professor.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Well, they only that's the only thing they got. You know, they've been doing this for years, and the SEC commissioner Sankey was the chair of the committee that looked into it, and he made a comment. I don't know what his comment was, but he made some kind of comment about it,
right?
About the case. But I just want to say, if that'd been anybody else, if that'd been the University of Kentucky going before that board, Kentucky right now would be on 4 or 5 years probation. They'd have scholarships cut, and their whole program, their whole program would be decimated right now.
That is quite the hypothesis, Jeff. I appreciate your call on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let me just say this, and we'll get into the takes on the North Carolina thing in a little bit. If my school's going to get punished for hookers in the dorm, can we not punish other schools for clear, systematic fraud?
Well, easy now. We don't know. I mean, they were innocent, and we know we had hookers in the dorm.
We know Carolina's classes were easy. It's a systematic. Robert's up next on the Titans Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to you a minute ago about the topic about who should be to blame. And this is really hard. I got a call in today, and
Floyd, who do you think he's going to blame?
Say that, oh man, this is hard. I'll just say I'd have to disagree today. I'd give this one to Malarkin on this. this is so hard.
Is it killing you?
Here's the thing, Jared and the GM. If you're trying to keep things away from your enemy, you're not going to tell your enemy what you're doing. So he probably thinking with his little brain, but excuse me. He probably thinking, and yeah, sometimes he does. He probably thinking about, maybe they probably listen. He want to throw their game plan off. I don't know, but I mean, it's kind of like, you don't want somebody knowing your every move, what you're doing on your play. So I'd hate to give him that, but that might be it. This might be it.
Robert, I have two questions for you before we let you go. Number one, where are you from? Because you call every day to complain about Mike, and so we want to know it's you when you call. So Robert, from where?
From Nashville.
Okay, well, narrows it down. Yeah, but here's my other question. What does Mike Malarkey have to do as a coach for you to think he's a good coach?
That's a hard question, Jerry, you want to ask. That's
like, if they win the Super Bowl, will you call in the Monday after they win the Super Bowl and say, I was wrong about Malarkey?
You know what? I probably would do that right there. But I just don't see it, though. I don't want to sound negative.
I don't want to sound negative.
But I will say that I want to ask you this, though. How many more losses against bad teams are we going to have before Malarkin is on the hot seat? I ask y'all this question.
You ask us every week.
Yeah. And
Floyd, what do you think? Robert, I appreciate your call. Robert from Nashville,
Robert.
From now on. Floyd, how many losses, for Robert's sake, because he does ask that question on this show every week.
I don't know. I mean, he would have to be on the hot seat, he'd have to lose a bunch here.
I'm going to tell you what, and I'm not saying about the hot seat. I'm just telling you, you lose to the Dolphins last week, you lose to the Colts this week, those fans are going to be really mad at the coach. And, like, if they lose to the Colts and the Browns, so you make it Dolphins, Colts, Browns, 3 in a row, the fans are going to want you out of town. Now, the Titans might not send him out of town, but the fans are going to want him out of town when they do that. Fireball Hot Take Friday is rolling along. Titans, Vols, Vandy, whatever, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get you in on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. This has been a fun Fireball Hot Take Friday through at least two segments.
Yeah.
I mean, we are rocking and rolling.
Robert kind of tops it all off.
The callers are all fired up today. Coming up next, though, before we get back to the phones, I do have one Preds thought that I want to get to from last night's game. because I did go to the game last night. I got one big Preds thought I want to get to, and then we're back to your calls on UT and the Titans and everything else. Hey, Titan fans, do not miss NFL Football Sunday on a Monday from 5 to 7 live from Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. Check out the NFL Football pregame show with Fitz and Floyd, and the watch party for the big Monday night game against the Colts is at Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel, Nashville's best place to watch games on their 15-by-15-foot big screen, plus great food and drink specials. Jared and the GM, Fireball Hot Take Friday, rolling along next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Jamie Benn there came up on the shelf on top of the boards and comes over right side for Subban. That long lob by Subban. He scores! P.K. Subban into the empty net. Well, we don't have to tell Brent Peterson. It's frosty time in Tennessee.
Brent, get you frosty, Floyd.
Yes, sir.
Preds win 4-1 last night. So I got one takeaway, and then we'll go right back to the phones. So I'm at the game last night with my buddy Brian. I went to high school with him.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me, he goes, so how do the Preds look so far this year? And I said to him, I go, you know, honestly, they don't look very good. You know, I watched them. They won the other night, but they still, you know, they have not looked very good. They don't look like a good team. That's what I said last night when he asked me. And I was sitting there watching the game, and early on it was kind of like, you know, they just don't look like a very good team. Then they turned it on, and in the second and third periods, they looked like a good team. So I don't know if this is just who the Preds are in general, or because we had a lot of that last year where we thought they were going to be a good team, and then they looked like a bad team, and then they look like a good team, and then they look like a bad team, and then they get to the playoffs, and they look like a great team. So, I mean, I don't know if that's just who they are. I don't know if it's, you know, way too early to start thinking about those things. But early in that game last night, they looked like a bad team. And then the second, third period, they looked like a really good team. And the one takeaway from the two games that I've been to over the last couple nights is that first line, that Jofa line with Forsberg and Johansson and Arvidsson. Now that looks like a good team. Those guys look like a good team. And I do want to give some credence to that whole chemistry talk that we got into last year and say, okay, well, maybe the Nick Bonino line needs some time to gel because Nick Bonino is new and Scott Hartnell is new and these young guys are new. Whereas you look at that front line with Johansson and Forsberg and Arvidsson, and those guys have been together now for a year and a half. So maybe there is something to that, and that's why they're playing better than everybody else.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it is. I think you hit it on the head. It's a little bit early to start labeling these guys, except for the fact that we saw it last year, you know, so that leads some credence to it. But, I mean, I think they're going to have to play a few more games, and especially, you know, like this weekend, they've got Chicago, and that'll be a pretty good measure of where they are. And I think, you know, we have more division games coming up. I mean, it was nice to get a nice win against a division opponent. I mean, that's a giant plus. So, you know, I mean, you don't want – I know what we want out of this team. You know,
we want them to win every game.
Yeah, we want them to play like they played in the playoffs, and that's just not going to happen. And I don't know if, you know, if you're rooting for a team that has played – in the playoffs for a number of years, if you just grow to accept it, say, okay, we just get through the regular season. When's the regular season going to be over? All right, playoffs, here we go. Now let's get cranked up. I don't know if that's the way you become, if that becomes a, you know, a way of life, a way of understanding the league, or, you know, if you go out and if you expect to win every game and then all the way through to the Stanley Cup.
Let's go to the phones here. And by the way, the Preds play the Blackhawks tomorrow night. That game right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And I have a thought on that game tomorrow night that I do want to get to at some point. But let's just go right back to the phones. Juan is up next on UT. What's up, Juan?
How you doing, big brother?
Hey.
Good to hear from you. Hey, I tell you what, real quick, I'm going to give you 2 points. I'm going to talk about my Vols and your Titans. My Vols, in the words of B.B. King, the thrill is gone. It's very easy. They are not doing a good job as a staff, not just Butch Jones. It's past time for him to go. And he can take all the bricks and wall himself out of Knoxville because we have lost the thrill and the taste of his coaching style. And I don't think we're going to win one SEC game. Last point, I don't think the Titans can win without Mariota, period, no matter how the defense plays.
There may be something to that second take. But to the first take, I mean, no SEC games this year? Missouri? Really?
Vandy? Kentucky?
See, I don't know what I think of Vandy right
they
now.
They got to slip through one of those.
I think Vanderbilt's going to win this weekend against Ole Miss. But I'm so disappointed in Vandy, Floyd. Am I allowed to be disappointed? Derek Mason says at SEC Media Days, says, Jared, get behind the movement. And I was skeptical. I was. And I had Floyd over here saying, this is the best roster I've ever seen Vandy have. And so I got that, and I got the coach, and then they win three games, and I got the Vandy fans, and then they're playing Alabama, and we took all those calls from people that were like, no, Jared, I think this is going to be a close game against Bama. And I was like, I mean, come on, people. And ever since then, they've been awful. Awful, awful, awful. And that defense that this great defensive coordinator coach has put together, they can't tackle. They can't stop anybody. So to answer your question about Vanderbilt, I don't know, but I still think they're going to beat UT because UT, I mean, come on. I mean, hey, one team lost 41-0 to Georgia. The other lost 45-7. So they're both very similar, it seems like.
So let me get this Vandy picture correct.
A dogfight between
those
two.
You started off SEC days, you were not on the Vandy wagon.
True.
Then you jumped on the Vandy wagon.
At 3-0, yes.
At 3-0, and then now you're back off the wagon again.
I'm getting close.
What do we call that, Ian?
Dropping an F-bomb.
Steven is up next on Vandy on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a truck driver. I listen to y'all every day. This
Thank
is the
you,
first
time brother.
I call down.
We appreciate it.
So I just want to talk about maybe Andy Ludwig a little bit. Like, I watched that Florida game this year, and I think towards the end of the game, there's like 2 or 3 minutes left, the fourth and short, and he punts the football. Like, nobody expects us to win in. I mean, let's be honest. We're not supposed to really win that game. Why don't you try and take a chance and go for it on fourth down and go try and win the ball game?
Isn't that the head coach's call, though?
I mean, that's what I want to ask you. Is that Derek Mason, or – does Ludwig, you know, have the power to veto him, or is it ultimately his call? I don't know. I'm a big Derek Mason guy. I love Derek.
Thank you, Stephen. Floyd, what do you think?
I think it would be Derek's call. Now, if he says if Derek were to say, for example, I want to go for it, and Ludwig say, you know what, I don't really have a play I like, then he'd say, okay, fine, punt it, you know. But that's kind of, as a coordinator, admitting you're not really prepared, which is not something, you know, most coaches tend to do. So I don't know. But I think, yeah, I think Derek would have the ultimate call there.
I'll say this about Ludwig. You know, in the last three games, they scored no points against Alabama. They scored 14 against Georgia. But they did score 24 against Florida. And if Derek Mason's defense is as good as it's supposed to be and Vanderbilt scores 24 points, they should win a game. So I look at that Florida game. I don't blame Andy Ludwig for that. I point the finger at Mason because you shouldn't give up 38 points to Florida. Trevor Maddich said that their offense might be as bad as Michigan's.
Well, the game that I was a little bit disappointed in was the Georgia game, because Georgia went in there and just ran at will against them.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, Georgia did nothing that was of surprise at all.
No, there was and it was almost, you could... You know, when you see defensive fronts, you line up the defensive front and you know where the weaknesses are. And you say, okay, now that's a weak spot right there, and they're going to have poor gap control here or there. Every time they put a front up, they ran the play right at the weak part of the front, and they just kept doing it. And I kept saying, get out of that front, change the fronts. You got to loop or slant or twist or do something, because they were just gashing them. And I kept watching it, kept thinking somebody's going to do something here at some point in time. So I was a little bit disappointed about that game.
That is some very X's and O's coaching that you noticed was not being coached properly, it seems like.
Well, no, I was shocked play after play that every time they would be in a front, that Georgia ran the ball right into the weak part of that defense. I mean, I kept thinking, they can't get every one of these right.
Right. Like
now,
if something were to happen, like Ryan Johansson's out for the playoffs in the middle of the playoffs, and then we were to not talk about it, you would be like, now, wait a minute. Why are they not talking about, you know, the big news of Ryan Johansson's injury? Right. I mean, I think there is some credence to that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. I have one take on college football this weekend that really bums me out. I'll get to that coming up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, plus more of your calls. Hey, it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. No better way to celebrate the weekend than with ice-cold Fireball cinnamon whiskey. That's right. Whether it's a shot, whether it's a drink, whatever it may be, nothing is as sweet as Fireball cinnamon whiskey. That's right. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. Once again, that is Fireball cinnamon whiskey. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Fireball.
Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Fireball Hot Take Friday. Boyd, I usually get excited any Saturday to watch some college ball. You know that first Saturday of college ball when you're like, oh my God, college ball, yes? Mm-hmm. And then it's, all right, let's get the big prime time, and it's Florida versus Michigan and Alabama and Florida State. And there's all these great games, and you're just so excited, and you're so juiced up for college ball, and Floyd, we just took a look at the schedule in a break right there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're making weekend plans, the Titans are off this weekend because they play Monday night. If you're making weekend plans and I'm sitting here to tell you what the best games to watch Saturday are, you ready for the best games that I care about the most on Saturday?
Okay.
Number one, the Predators and the Blackhawks. Number two, UT South Carolina, only because UT might fire the coach. Number three, the Cubs and the Dodgers, and you know how much I get on baseball. Number four, Texas A&M Florida could be a good game. I mean, it could be. It could also be a really bad game that's close because both teams aren't great. Number five, the Yankees. They're playing the Astros, right? Yeah, the Yankees and the Astros, five. The college schedule this weekend is horrific. This is bad. Just to go over some of the games. I'll go over the top 25 schedule. I won't even go over the non-top 25 games. But the top 25, I mean, it is bad, Floyd. We looked at it. It is horrific. It's TCU, Kansas State, Michigan, Indiana, North Carolina State, Pittsburgh, Texas Tech, West Virginia, Auburn, LSU, Purdue, Wisconsin, Georgia Tech, Miami, Oklahoma, Texas, which, by the way, used to be a good game back in the day. Certainly not a good game. Baylor, Oklahoma State. I mean, what? East Carolina, UCF. These are horrible games. Missouri, Georgia, Arkansas, Alabama, Cincinnati at South Florida. There are no good games on this weekend. How?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they don't do it on purpose. I mean, I guarantee you that.
Unless they're trying to avoid baseball. And I doubt that.
Yeah, I would doubt that. I don't know. It's got to be just the luck of the draw. But there are not a lot of great games on. Now, that TCU game could be a good game. I mean, there are some games there that you know, will have interest, but it's not like you're going to spend a lot of time shuffling from channel to channel.
I mean, what game on this schedule is the, I got to make sure I'm home in time to watch this game.
Yeah, there's not, I mean, I'm not sure that there's any that you're going to miss a date for.
I don't know how much you love the Predators, but you love college ball. There's not a game on this schedule where you would say, you know what, I think that game's more important than the Preds and Blackhawks. To me, Preds and Blackhawks, in my mind, is more important than any of these games. Because at least, you know, there's some history and they're two good teams and they should be good in the playoffs last year. And this, I mean, you could argue, and I'm not arguing this, but you could legitimately make a case that Michigan State at Minnesota might be the best game of the weekend. Do you know what channel that game's on?
Yeah, but I wouldn't argue that.
Do you know what channel that game is on?
No.
The Big Ten Network. The Big Ten Network. I'll tell you right now, baseball. And you guys know me. You guys know that I am not a baseball fanatic. I used to be growing up, but I am not a, you know, put your chips all in for baseball. But baseball this weekend is better than the college football. Now, in all fairness, I guess Fox does know that, because I railed about how the Fox would put the Yankees on FS1 and not Fox. Saturday afternoon against the Astros is on Fox. So at least the Yankees or Fox is saying, you know what? Forget the fact that we don't have the conferences to get people to watch. We only have the Big Ten and the Pac-12, whatever. Well, let's go ahead and put the Yankees on our big channel in the middle of the day, which is probably a good call considering all these matchups. But, I mean, college football, do better. And speaking of doing better, how about college basketball today? The NCAA giving North Carolina no penalty. Your thoughts on that?
The NCAA is useless. I mean, it is 5 years they have spent prosecuting this thing. And what do they come up with? No problem.
Well, you know, if they, regular students problem. Could take those crap classes too.
I don't know what to do. The NC2A, I would be interested to find out how much money they spent on this to come up with nothing. So, I mean, the NC2A is useless. I mean, they ought to, if I was in a position where I could take these like Power 5 schools and say, hey, we're going to forget the NC2A. We're going to start our own board. We'll start our own group that will police us, and this is, you know, what we'll do and where they'll be and all that. I mean, all the NC2A does is collect money and be a pain in the butt. They never get anything done. I mean, it's just awful.
I wonder if the people at the NCAA offices sit there and say, you know what, this is a scam and we know it, and we're going to hold out on our scam cash our checks for as long as we possibly can, knowing that what we do is so fraudulent. I mean, what do they do? Like, what do they do in those offices? The FBI basically comes in and goes, hey, by the way, everything that they've been telling you for the last 20 years is a lie.
Yeah, I mean, they can't subpoena people. They can't subpoena information. They can't subpoena records. They can't do any of that. They have no power. They have no clout. They have no, I don't even know how they've remained where they are all this time. Because you would think there would be a group of people that would finally get together and say, hey, you know what? We don't have to listen to those guys.
They don't do it because they don't stop the flow of cash. They don't stop the flow of cash from the TV companies from the advertisers to the TV companies to the conferences, to the schools, to the coaches. The NCAA very rarely gets involved in that chain of money. Now, they take their cut for the basketball tournament.
Sure.
But the NCAA does not get involved in slowing down that train of money. So everybody involved is fine with the NCAA. They're cool with it. Like, they'll play along because we're all getting paid. Everybody's making money. So why not? Let's play along. Let's everybody. Hey, TV, you're getting paid, right? Yep, that Alabama football game sure was great for TV. Okay, TV's fine with it. Alabama, SEC, are you fine with all the money you're getting from CBS and ESPN to have the? Oh, yeah, no, we're fine. We like all the money we're getting. SEC Network. Nick, are you happy with the money you're getting?
You think about their five-year investigation in North Carolina. The number one, maybe the number one college sport issue has been this whole basketball thing that was brought about by the FBI. NC2A didn't have any part of that.
Did you see what they did yesterday, though, in response to that, the NCAA?
No.
They formed a board.
Oh, good.
They're gonna look at this, and they're going to analyze. And so, I think Condoleezza Rice is on that board.
Good idea. What is Condoleezza? Is she power forward someplace or what?
Well, I mean, Condoleezza Rice was on the college football playoff committee.
That help you in basketball?
Condoleezza Rice also told us that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Not sure that equates to being able to determine fraud in college basketball. Unless she tells us that there isn't fraud in college basketball, when we all know there is fraud in college basketball, then those things, you know. But I don't. I mean, to be completely frank with you, the NCAA has no power, so it doesn't matter.
They're useless.
No, they're nothing. They are nothing.
That isn't.
It's like the NCAA is essentially a tax on college sports. They take their cut, and they don't do anything.
I don't know why the SEC and what are the Power Five, you know, but any of these conferences don't just say, hey, you know, thank you. We don't need your help any longer. We're going to go over here and do it ourselves.
Basketball tournament, maybe?
They could do it all They could handle it all. They could get everybody in you know, agreement, and it would be a lot better. It would be probably cheaper. And now the penalties might be stiffer, depending on what kind of powers they gave them. But if they found, you know, problems, I mean, maybe that's why the NC2A is still hanging on.
I saw a story today about a kid at NC State, a basketball player, and I haven't been following this story, so I might be incorrect about some of this, but apparently he had gone to Ohio State, and then in, like, June, the Ohio State coach left. So he had gone to class for, like, a day at Ohio State, and then in June, the coach leaves, so he leaves Ohio State and goes to NC State and applies and says, you know, I didn't really do anything, didn't practice, didn't whatever, and the NCAA today came out and said, nah, he's got to sit a year before he can play at NC State because he went to a summer school class or whatever at Ohio State. And I'm thinking to myself, so North Carolina gets no punishment for no classes, and the kid at NC State gets punished for going to class. I mean, it's just, it's a joke. So that's on the table now, too. We got UT, we got Titans, we got Preds, we got this fiasco. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis going to join us in the next hour, plus so much more on Jared and the GM at ESPN 1025 The Game.